The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Good morning. I don't know if y'all remember, not too long ago, well, it was probably 3 years ago, when we were here, we got to share a message, and I asked how many of you are great. Y'all remember that message?
Yeah.
Do you? At least somebody does. So how many of you are great today?
Yoo-hoo!
You know what makes us great? It is God and only God. And I'll just keep wandering her this way. We'll go over here eventually.
I don't know what I'm doing. I just follow him.
But we are excited to be here, and I really have been blessed. You know, you move around the world in different places, and you see different faces, and you experience different attitudes and different behaviors and different responses to the Spirit of God. Amen. This is beautiful this morning. We haven't had the luxury to be in that kind of a gathering since we were here last time. So it is a blessing to have that sweetness of the Spirit, expressions of the Lord from your heart to His. And so it just thrills me. But what we're going to do, we're going to start off because, you know, it's already almost 11 o'clock, and I know I'm supposed to be done by 4 at least. but we're excited, but we want to share a little bit of update on our lives and then the ministry before I share the word that I want to share with you that God has placed on my heart for you. And so I've asked my beautiful wife to do that. But before I do that, how many of you have never met us? You are so blessed. My name is Gene, and this is Jordana. And Pastor Dave, you know, introduced us well and what we do. But, you know, that's really what we do with our time. What we do is love Jesus. And we love Him to the end of eternity. And it is so blessed, but we have started this journey together. We actually started in a little country church up in northern Minnesota that some of you may be aware of called Bethesda Community Church. And we've kind of moved around and negotiated our world since then about 14 years ago and have ended up in a beautiful, beautiful part of the world in a little town called Soldotna, Alaska. And so we come with greetings from Alaska to you. And we are delighted to be here. So we're going to share a little bit about the ministry, and you go ahead and do that.
Okay, we just, Alaska.
How many of you would like to go to Alaska?
Yeah.
We'll make it less expensive now. You can come and stay at our house.
Yeah. It is absolutely gorgeous. But do you know that they need the love of Jesus in Alaska? It's like they need the love of Jesus in Turkey, right? They need the love of Jesus in Elk River. Yeah. It's not about going someplace to do. It's about doing where you are planted. Yeah. And God planted right now. We have been 2 years already in Alaska. It has been an amazing, amazing time there. But can I tell you something? You're an Alaskan if you call your boss in the morning and say, I cannot leave the house. There is moose in my garage. It is amazing. I mean, the nature, the wild nature, the moose, the bears, the beauty is just all around. And what it makes you realize how God is. Because it's nothing about us. It's about Him. You know, it's just that we live in a little town, Soldotna, Alaska, that is about the size of about 4,000 people or so. But in the summertime, it triples. And the summertime begins at Memorial Weekend about 2 weekends ago and doesn't end until probably mid-October because people are just from all around the world, Japanese, Korean, a lot of people from here, they call it the lower 48, from the lower 48 and different things are there right now. And there's a lot of people that we can get to know Jesus. I want to tell you something that you know that our ministry is to reach people and youth and especially children with disabilities and their family. But it's to share Jesus. You know, we were, nobody knows us who we are in Alaska. I mean, we had some family there. Jean's grew up in Alaska. But where we are living is about an hour and a half from where he grew up. You know, we were new in town doing things. And then God said, you know, you need to start the ministry here. I said, how do we do that, God? Nobody knows us here. I said, nobody knows you in Minnesota either. You know, that means that it's not a big deal. They know, we know who we believe, right? We know who he is. And then I work in a public school, and that's another completely different story about public school in Alaska. But I work in a public school, and then when I was here in Minnesota, there's no way that I can share about my faith with my students. And then tell the people in my department, special education department, that I'm doing a camp for disabled children that is a Christian camp. And I said to Jean, how are we going to do this? Because I know in Minnesota we cannot do that. And we put a flyer together with all the information about the camps and what we do and about the love of Jesus for this kid. And we took it to the district. The district where I work for, it's about the size of Minnesota. That way you guys have an idea how big the things are there. Alaska is big. If you take Alaska and put it over the whole United States, it fills up a two-thirds. I mean, we are talking about, it's huge. You have no idea how big that place is. And I'm glad that in 1959 is when Alaska became a state. And in 1867 is when somebody had the crazy idea to buy it from Russia. Do you guys remember that?
Yep.
Okay.
Like yesterday.
You wasn't there? Well, believe me, I had to study it because I had to take a class to be able to pass. Anyways, but it is amazing how big it is. And then I said, Jean, put the flyer together. We got it and we took it and they saw it and they said, oh, no problem at all. You can take it to any school that you want. And give it to our flyer that says about Jesus. It was in every school, department of special education, in the offices. That's God. They just told us, they said, just put a note in the back that says that the district does not endorse this activity. I'm thinking, okay, that's good. You know, we can just do that. But I want to tell you, without me, nobody knows us, we had the first camp ever done in Alaska for disabled children with a Christian message. They have camps, but not with a Christian message to these kids. And we did, and we had a beautiful facility, a lot of outdoors, and we had 10 campers and about 17 workers. And just tell you what happened in Alaska. The pipes froze, and we didn't have water. It was 40 below zero, but the kids love it. The kids thought it was the most amazing thing because we have to be everybody together in one room, and we did a slumber party for them. It was fantastic, and they met Jesus. That's the most important thing about it. And I want to tell you that we are very blessed to be there. Our son Osito is just finished first grade. He's going to go to second grade next year. And then we were really concerned at the start of our journey there 2 years ago because he did not like it. Every day he said it to us, I want to go back to Big Lake. I want to go back to Big Lake. And that's hard for a mom and a dad when you hear your son saying that. And you will not believe what happened. It was August, September, October. October 31st, we had a huge snowstorm, huge, you know, in our town. And then he came back home, and he said, yes. I said, what's that? I like it here. I said, why? Because he loved the winter. He loved the snow. And that was the whole thing. Since that time, everybody, it's mad with us because he prays for snow, and it's a lot of snow. That winter, the winter before, they had how many feet of snow? 12 feet of snow. They had in Anchorage, they have a huge valley that they take the snow and put it there. That thing didn't melt until when?
September of the following
year. September of the following year. And all because Osito didn't like Alaska without snow. And he wanted snow. But anyways, we are excited about it to share with you what God is doing. But I want to tell you a little bit about the ministry. In our personal life, we are doing good health-wise. God has really restored my body completely. I'm out of any medication whatsoever. And then the doctor tells me, "You are my most boring patient." And I said, actually, he doesn't see me anymore. He sees me. I come back here and see. She's going to see me next week. And then, but that's what he said. "You're boring." I said, "Okay, that's good for me. If I can be very boring for you, I don't have to give you any excitement with lupus." But lupus is, everything is doing really good. We are health wise, we're doing okay. We attend to a little town Church of God. And then we have been there since last year. We really enjoy the pastor, enjoy the congregation. And the most thing that we enjoy is that we only leave 3 minutes from the church. That means they see us in the church every day that we can be there. That means because we like to be part of the church. And that's something for you guys. I mean, if you're part of a church, you're part of the church. You are not part of the church on Sunday. You're part of the church every day. And that's something that for us was hard when we were living here because our church was in St. Cloud. And it was hard to be there every day. But when you are closer to our church, you need to be there. Even just to bring cookies to Pastor David. Just do something.
You agree with that?
He says amen to that. Okay, and the ministry, Cristo Vive. One of the biggest things that we are excited about it, you know, of course, the ministry started in Alaska, and the ministry started this year in Washington State, too. I mean, the Lord really has given us a vision for the states right now. We have ministry in Wisconsin, Minnesota, in Texas, in Idaho, in Washington, and in Alaska. And anywhere that the Lord wants us to do. But this is, we have good news. We call it, I hear Jean saying, the second in command. But really, she's the first in command. We have a young girl, a young adult now, 28 years old, Crystal Ewing. You probably guys know the Ewings. Crystal Ewing, that now is Crystal Galvan. She is married to a pastor and the minister in Texas and in Washington. And then she has come beside us. And she has approached us and said, "I want to be part of Cristo Vive and I want to be a camp developer." It is a blessing. This kid, this girl, which is not a girl, is a young adult. This young adult, she has the vision to go to an area and look people, develop a team, and begin a camp. And she is excited about it with us doing it. She started the camp in Texas. Now she's going to start the camp in Washington. And then she came to Alaska to be with us to start the camp in Alaska. And I don't know where she's going to go, but she's going to go everywhere. Yeah. And we are excited about it because that really has given us the ability to do that, you know, because Jean and Jordana and Osito is only Jean and Jordana and Osito. But with her, we have seen how the ministry is going around the world. Anyways, with that, I'm going to give that to you.
You know, Crystal began the ministry in Texas 4 years ago. And now of all of our stateside camps, it has become the strongest. She's beginning the one in Washington, and they just found out they're moving back to Texas before the camp begins. So she's already handed it off. And they are excited about what's going to happen there. So it's just a blessing for us. We are also hosting a camp next week. In Osceola, Wisconsin.
We need help.
Over another foreign country to our east. We really do need help. It's amazing how things change when you change. Isn't that kind of the way it is? When we moved out of here, it's just like the whole team kind of lost their direction. And we knew that would happen. Because anytime somebody is designated that they're in charge. Everybody just kind of congregates where they're at. And we weren't here anymore. And trying to get them to step up and take on that role and just let it flow has been challenging. So this year we have, it's not challenging getting campers. It's challenging to get the workers together. Because some of you guys are really hard-headed. No, I'm just kidding. But it's difficult because you just got to keep that going. So we have the camp going on. We have 13 campers scheduled to be there. And if you understand how the way we work, it's a one-on-one ratio. So in order to have a camp, we have to have the number available of workers that we have campers, plus a staff. And when you're doing 5 days of camp, it's difficult to sustain your ability when you have 5 days of constant attention on another person from the time they wake up till they go to bed and how you take care of yourself. So we'll have nobody to do that this camp, to fill in for you. We have 17 workers that are assigned to come. So we need help. So if you are at all interested, please take the time today to talk to us before we leave and let us know that you might be available to come. And it's not a walk-in. I got 6 hours today. I mean, if you want to do that, you can do it because that's always helpful. But what we really need is people that can commit to be with us next Sunday through the following Saturday as a missionary paid up and ready to go. Okay? So that's what we're needing. And if you can't do it, send somebody. Because that's how it works. And, you know, if we get 4 or 5 more people, God will get the glory and we'll be blessed. And the ministry has had to step away from some of the overseas part of our ministry that we had worked so hard with because of, he's got so much going on. And it's hard for people to sort out where they're going to apply their energy and their finances to make it happen. And we are just, because we've connected so well with some of the ministries, we've had to, on too many cases, begin to work towards it and have to withdraw it. And I don't like to do that to the ministries on that end, because it really is a letdown for them. They are so enthralled. I know the ministry in Ukraine. I don't know the one in Turkey, but I know the one in Ukraine. And I know how much they look forward to the teams coming over there and providing that support to their work that God has led them into. And when that can't happen, when they're planned it happening, I mean, it's a real difficult time for them. And so we've had to kind of withdraw until we can recover and find ways to engage in that environment again. So we're not really doing overseas except in Ecuador. Ecuador is still kind of our base of our ministry. It has two different locations that we have teams operating very successfully. And they just said, we're going to do it with or without you. That's not an issue for us. And they do it very well that way. And so we're blessed. We get to go down there in about 3 weeks and spend a little time with some of the group down there and encourage them. And We've been there for 15 years.
Yeah, we're going to celebrate 15 years of the ministry. And if you know a little bit about Hispanic culture, do you know about Hispanic culture? You know what happened when they turned 15?
Yeah.
It's actually even more, even bigger than a wedding sometimes. You know, and there is a huge celebration in Ecuador because the ministry have been there for 15 years. And then they want us to be there, and they're going to party. They're going to do everything. And if you have been with Hispanic people, their party lasts 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours, you know. But we are going to be there, and you will not believe this. Gene is going to preach in Spanish. He needs anointing. He really does.
I'm going to take Jenna with.
Well, he is writing his sermon, and his wife is translating it, and then he's going to read it. But for them to hear him preaching in Spanish is going to be a big thing. You know, I'm not telling anybody about it in Ecuador. My leader, the person there, knows about it, but I said, don't tell anybody because it's a surprise for the team. But please just pray for him because he needs that.
Okay, with all that behind us. out on our table in the foyer, we have some brochures. If you want some information about us, I'd ask you just to pick up one of these general brochures and just kind of talks about our, gives our testimony, our ministry, what our thrust is. There's another one out here. It's a little brown one. It says Wanted. In fact, it says Wanted Willing Believers. That's what we want. If you are interested or know anybody that would be interested to come to the camp to help, please take one of these so they can contact us or you can contact us. There's also a sign-up sheet out there if you would like to connect with us any way that you would like to, whether that's for just being on our prayer partnership, being on our mailing list to hear what we're doing, or to join with us financially to keep us moving forward with what we're doing. Anyway, please take the time to sign up the sheet out there and then we can be connected. Right after this service, well, at 1 o'clock this afternoon, we're having lunch over at Pizza Ranch. So you're welcome to come if you don't get a chance to chat with us and you know us or want to get to know us. Please just meet us over at Pizza Ranch in Elk River, and we'll be there at 1 o'clock and say hi. Okay? Would somebody help Jordana go back to her, one of you, please? I want to share something this morning, and it's... You've heard a prophet's word this morning. Can you listen to an evangelist's word? Good. I was inspired to shift the direction of what I wanted to say as a response to one of the words that I heard. And so I'm going to shift off my notes a little bit because God opened up something to me that I think makes a difference. I have been listening to a word. It began in September of this last fall, starting in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We have only made it to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 in that whole period of time, every Sunday. And it's been cool for me because the pastor has shared his heart using those words to thrust the direction of our attention. And it has been very, very healthy for me because it's just that we can get so caught up in having these illustrious expressions of our faith and making these hallmark messages that just are out there. What he does, and that's why Jordana said we love our pastor up there, because he applies it to your life day by day. And he's just one of the guys. And that's what I like about this church. They're just one of the guys. And so I want to share it from that perspective. So I don't know, obviously, all of you, of where your background has been in your life and how much of the Bible you may know. But I'm not going to read all of 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. I'm going to start where we ended up. So... But I want to give a little preference or a preface to what I want to speak in that regard, because if you understand who you are in Christ, that you've accepted Jesus Christ because he first accepted you. You didn't pursue him, he pursued you. And because he pursued you, you have been found. It's kind of an irony for us to think that I found Jesus. He was never lost. Right? What you found was that he's real. He's alive. He's welcoming. He's grace. Isn't he? That's what he is to us. So I want to start off just in this verse real quick, and I'm really not going to take till 4, so I promise you. I actually want to start off in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So if you really want to find the preface of what Paul was talking about here, you'll have to go back and read the verses and the chapters before that. It says, "And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation." So, We are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right through with God through Christ. Now, I wanted to share that with you because how many of you ever heard that word before? I would imagine most of you have. It's not a new word. It's not a new thought. But I want to encourage us because there is a new way. There is a new intentional purpose. If I was to categorize verse 21 in there, it's your job description. You don't have a choice. You have no option. Your job, and I better read it so I make sure I said the right one. No, not even 20. 19. For God was in Christ, reconciling the words of no longer counting people. We are called. It's actually the verse before that, verse 19. We are called to reconcile people to him. That's our job. And the question comes to all of us is, how do we do it? I get so, it's almost laughable, but it's sad. When you go around the Christian church and you talk to people just like you, sitting out in the pews, involved in the small groups or involved in the church in any capacity, and you have real dialogue with them about where they are with their Lord. And you get all kinds of, I think, very weird responses. I love what Pastor Dave said. You can't sit here in worship. You can't sit here in dedicated, receiving amazing gifts from God and then walk out of the church and say, wasn't that good? And wait for it to happen again. There's something that happens between that place that God has you to enjoy his presence, to give it away. To give it to somebody else. And my experience, watching many of the people in the circles of the church that I had been exposed to, it's hard. I can't do what you do. I can't talk like you do. I can't just share the God. I don't know the Bible like you do. You know what I think? They don't know Jesus like I do. It's not about the Bible. It's not about what you know. It's not about what you've heard. It's about who you are. When you know you are a born-again believer, when you know that Jesus has rescued you from hell, it's not a problem to walk up on the earth again. When you knew that your next step was to knock you clear down into the pit, and you could feel the heat of the fire on your face. I love it when I heard this expression. It's from an inmate. He said, I understood finally what it means to hit rock bottom. Because when you hit the rock, life shows up. Awesome. That was from an inmate. He finally understood what that meant to him. Because the rock, Christ Jesus, brought life to him. Yeah. And he said it was good to hit the rock. Nothing else matters anymore. And when we understand that, all of a sudden we can rise up and we can walk again. And it's not about what we say. I love what St. Francis of Assisi said. Go preach the gospel. And when you have to, use words. You know, if we could understand our life is the gospel of Jesus. We are Jesus in our world. There is no other. He doesn't have another alternative. He gave his life so that you would be that life to your neighbor. Isn't that cool? So don't worry about what you say. how you say it, when to say it. Walk in your world, embodied in your life with Jesus. They will follow you. When it says that we are his ambassadors, and when we say, come to God, that should be our message. Come with me. Don't argue with them. Our pastor just made this statement a while back. I thought it was really, really, really cool. He said, you know, sometimes we hear things, and we just want to give them a piece of our mind. He said, but I don't give them a piece of my mind because I don't have enough to give away. You know, I think that if we could understand our reaction, our response to somebody else's negative about our belief is what stymates us, if it's the wrong response. If we find ourselves encumbered by them needing an explanation about us, our explanation is going to take us from there to not being their reconciler. It's going to remove us from the place. And their reflections of what God is all about to them is just kind of lost. But when we just live our life, we have a standard, we have an expression, we have a place to walk with God, and we just walk that way by the very nature that he's within us, we'll take people with us. And then we can bless them. We can pray for them. We can encourage them. We can guide them down this process and say, now, how does that feel? And help them to make the transition. Help them to become transformed in the way they live life. But not judging them in that process along the way. Accepting them for who they are. To me, that's what a true believer learns to do, because Jesus did that for them. I was thinking, this is the part of this that I want to share that I heard this morning. We, and God doesn't look for perfection. Now you get my ending to your statement. He looks for permission. He looks for permission in your decision. If you give him permission and you decide to let him, you'll go where he's called you to go. You'll do what he's called you to do. You'll do the impossible, because without it, you would do nothing. The impossible is your platform. Some of you, I'm just believing this, some of you live in the place you live on this earth because you couldn't see yourself living where, at the moment you saw it, you thought that would be a really cool place to live. In a nice environment, out in the country, in a beautiful home. Or you drive the car you drive because you just could never see how you could drive the Mercedes that somebody else drives. I'm not talking about having all that stuff, so don't get me wrong. Or you do things, you get involved in ministry because in an area because it's easy, or because you don't know how to do something more difficult. And as a result, you have a tendency to miss the very calling that God has called you for. You miss the very purpose where God had opened up your view to look beyond your possibility so you could step in to his provision. We have a story given to us in the scriptures of 12 men who were selected to go into a land of promise. There was a big land. God's plan was for them to go in there and come back with the reports, basically, that they came back with. But just not with the spin they put on it. He wanted them to come back with saying, man, the houses are awesome. The grapes are wonderful. All these things are spectacular. This is a great land that God has called us to come into. But they came back putting the spin on it, but man, there's some fearsome people there. There's some things there that are going to be really, really hard. And as a result, what did they do? They talked themselves out of the very thing that God had promised to give them. How many times in our life do we do that very same thing? You see, the difference is God told them they're going to go in and they're going to destroy. They're going to take out. They're going to occupy that land so they could make it what God had planned for them and not be affected by the sin and the corruption in the land. You've been called to go into a place specifically to reconcile the people that are there to Him. It's a big difference. On the charters that we've been given today, with the Holy Spirit occupying space on this earth through our personage, our body, that we can sit next to our neighbor and have the Holy Spirit there to protect us while we're reconciling Him to the Father. When they went in, they had to be aware, because if they sat next to that guy, he's going to take them down the path of unrighteousness. We shouldn't have that fear. So when we see God calling us or putting before us that which is impossible, it's always going to be around people. He might send you to the jungles of wherever, where you don't know if there's 10 people there. But if there's 10 people there, there's 10 people there. And He's going there with you to reconcile those people to Him. That's our call. We are the spies. It's which one are we? Are we going to be what this scripture that I read fulfills for us or tells us, charges us? Are we reconcilers, or are we worried about what they think? Are we occupied in our attention to what is that going to look like if I fail? I want to be very personal with you. It's been this last 2 years has been very difficult. Now, we said we've had a great time. We love Alaska. We do. God is doing some awesome things in our life to transform and to inspire us and to develop us in the man and woman that He's made us to be. We got promoted. But it come through great challenges. Put in the world's turn, we lost everything. We had to file bankruptcy and lose our house. Everything we had here is gone. And it's pulled something inside of me. For me to have to sit there and look at you in the face as a ministry leader and feel confident that I didn't miss it when we went through that. To not be embarrassed, because some of you might think, what's this guy talking about? How could he do that and serve a God of provision, of goodness, declaring the good things of the Lord? And this is how. It's not mine. None of that was mine. None of that was ours. I had to learn how to step away and say, God, this is yours. I've done everything I know to do in the process of holding on to it. And believe me, we held on with all the glory we know how to hang on to it with. Much past some people's advice. Because, I mean, it's ours. And I owe. You know, I borrowed from people and I can't pay them back. I. And in the process, this is what we've learned. In the process of letting that go, we are free. Amen. To reconcile more to Him. Not hanging on to that which we thought we had. Being drugged down in the pit of depression and discouragement and despondency. By what we feel embarrassed about, so I can't. to let all that go and say, okay, God, where? Give me the where, give me the who, and give me the how, and give me the what, and I'll go there. And that's been a blessing. My message to you today in that whole story is, wake up. Your God is bigger than your loss. He's bigger than what you have been holding on to, trying to protect. He is a good God. One last verse I want to bring up. John chapter 8. I think it's John chapter 8. No, John chapter 20. Sorry. Verses 21 through 23. Again, because I don't know you personally, I don't know, this might be alarming to you, for some of you, to hear this. But this is what Jesus charged the disciples to do. How many of you are disciples of Jesus? Are you any different than Peter? Okay, or John in this case. All right, so verse 21. And again he said, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. You know, Jesus was challenged in his day because he said, your sins are forgiven. And if you remember what the Pharisees said, is how, who is this that can do that, that can say that? Only God can forgive sins. Today, the Pharisees say the same stupid things. Who are you? Are you not the inhabitation of the Holy Spirit, acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord and been reconciled with the Father, that he has placed his presence in you? That's why Jesus said that to his disciples. Go forgive their sins. And when you forgive them, they are forgiven. Let your neighbors know their sins are forgiven. No matter how ugly, how far-reaching, how outstretched they may be, their sin is forgiven when you minister forgiveness to them. Not necessarily when they get on their knees and they humbly bow before God and they say, God, would you forgive me? Because when you forgive them, that's already done. They still will go through that process, many of them. And that's right. That's where they should. But you as believers need to realize the significance that God has given you. If your neighbors don't understand that, they don't know who you are. And they're still looking for the Messiah. And you be He in that moment. You're not Jesus, so don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. But you are the one that was appointed to them to show them the way. And if you don't know that you have the power to forgive, then you don't understand the place that God has given you. We have that power to forgive, to connect, as this word said, to reconcile. Can we be reconcilers? Well, I love my Lord, and I don't always love the things He takes me through. But I love Him, and I love Him enough to know that when they come, He is with me. You know, I want to leave with this is a personal quip. I don't know if it's a revelation or just a idiotic thing that I think. But you know, the scripture compares or talks about pastors as shepherds. They kind of are almost alike, aren't they? I think it's so foolish For we who sit out here in a congregation, we have a pastor that's kind of leads us, kind of teaches us, kind of prepares us. His job is to shed the light on the scripture, hopefully to open up our hearts enough to receive more from God. That's kind of what he does, probably amongst many others. But you know what? I saw this reflection here recently. It just made so much sense to me. What does a shepherd do? He leads. Where does he lead them, according to the scripture? To green pastures. He leads them to the waters. He leads them to rest. He leads them. Guess what the shepherd can't do? He can't bear sheep. Who bears the sheep? So guess what? Sheep, don't leave it up to your pastor to bear all the sheep, to go find the new members of your family. That's your job. It's also his job, but it's your job. Go minister to your neighbors and bring them in, because if you depend on somebody else that's better than you, that knows more than you, that you follow. Actually, it was really cool, because when Jesus sent the 70-some out, he didn't go with them. He just said, I'll meet you at the other side or somewhere. And they brought him in and was all excited about what he did. Well, Jesus just had a good time. He went off and rested. I don't know what he did. But, you know, they were the one out there bringing in, ministering the gospel, sharing and loving and caring. So then they come back with a great report. So let's be the reconcilers. Let's be that which we've been called to be. Not be ashamed, not be afraid, not be dismayed because of our ineptitude. Let's don't look for our ability to do that, but give God the permission in our life to do that. Can I pray for you? Yes. Would you stand up, please? Our Father God, I am so grateful to you. I thank you that this wonderful people that you have brought into this place today, Lord, can capture in their heart even a closer image of what they contain in their spirit, of who they contain, who they have become. Because, Lord God, in that place, they will love their neighbors as you have loved them. They will forgive others as you have forgiven them. They'll be able to reconcile many to you as they themselves have been reconciled. That this world will grow in faith and honor and grace. Thank you, God, for their hearts. And I just pray that you'll just minister your grace and your love and your abundance upon them in their days as they step forward from here, not to ever be ashamed of who they are.